You are listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. Join him as he and his guests discover how businesses thrive in California.
Well, welcome to Pilgrim on the 405. You know, we have been looking around the world to find people to help companies in California thrive. And one of my very good friends is Paul Lanigan. Paul Lanigan and I have bunked together at Sandler conferences in Baltimore several times. And recently I was talking with Paul, and Paul said to me that he had lost his prospecting mojo and something was going on with him, and he had begun to put together a plan. I happened to come across a couple of people in the last couple of months who said to me similar things. They lost their mojo. They just weren't able to make the moves, take the action that's going to help them move forward. So I thought it might make a lot of sense to have a conversation with Paul Lanigan from Ireland, from the United Kingdom, all the way across the pond, to talk about what his experience has been with losing his mojo. So welcome, Paul.
Thanks, Will. I have to say the first thing you're going to do is you're going to lose any of your Irish listeners right now saying I'm from the UK. I'm from the other part of Ireland.
All right. Well, it's not the UK. This is only for Ireland.
Not still. We got rid of them before we did, but I'm only kidding. I love my UK pals.
All right. So talk to me a little bit about what this experience – how did you know that you had lost your mojo?
Oh, that's easy. You wake up one day and you just have no interest in talking to people. I don't mean in an everyday sense, but in terms of making an effort to go reach out to people, to meet up with them. Just, you have no interest. It's really hard to explain. If somebody calls me and says, hey, let's meet up, I have no problem with that. But just getting that energy, that effort, just to, it's like, you know, if a rocket's trying to take off from the earth, go to the moon, it has to build momentum. It has to build up that energy. And when something saps you of that energy, you're lifeless when it comes to prospecting. And you can come up with all of the goals you like. You can say, you know, well, I need to pay my mortgage. I need to go out and add car repayments. And you can just look at it and it's just words on a piece of paper. It doesn't mean anything. And I think anybody who loses their mojo in that sense, it's usually because something's happened in their life. And I think the only way to get back out of it is to do something. Uh-huh. And I know that sounds really simplistic. The first thing you have to do is recognize what's happening. And it can be, depending on what happens in your life, you know, sometimes people have tragic events and they just need to take time off as part of their recovery process. For me, it was something slower. And therefore, as I was getting on with things and, you know, my mother wasn't well and there's a few other things going on in my life that you just got on with. And it was only when it was over, my mother passed away in January. And it was only after that, it's like, you know that, I'm sure you've heard it many times when somebody's really, really working hard and then they take a vacation. And then they catch a flu or a cold or something the first day of vacation. It's like all the stuff is just storing up and it's leaving you alone until you stop. When the merry-go-round stops, then it hits you. And, you know, for me, after I buried my mother, it was obviously a period of days or whatever where you don't plan on doing anything. And then you turn around and you go back into the office and you stare at the screen. And you go on Facebook and you count your LinkedIn connections or whatever you do when you're just not prospecting. So that's essentially what happened, I think. So in terms of dealing with that, catching it is important. And you know that old Sandler expression that it's not how you feel that determines how you act, it's how you act that determines how you feel.
Right.
That's just that has never been truer. It's that you can sit there hoping and wishing, waiting for it to come back, and it doesn't. So what I did was, well, I did a few things, but one of them was just I contacted people, old clients, and I said, "Hey, listen, love to meet up with you for a coffee." That was it. Just let's chat and catch up. There was no agendas. I wasn't going out to try and sell them anything. I sent out 10 emails and 10 came back and said, yeah, let's meet up. And what I discovered was just that moment, just doing stuff, just going out to see people and having conversations, that gets you back in the door. The best analogy I can think of is, I don't know, have you ever done any kind of long distance running?
A little bit.
Well,
what I did was long distance biking. I did a couple of 100-mile bike rides.
Okay, wow. Well, I'm sure I did a marathon a few years ago, so I went through that period of long distance running. And the best analogy I can think of is that there's going to be many days, I'm sure you had it with the cycling, is that you just don't want to go out and train.
Right.
And all you have to do is go get, you don't have to go out and, you don't have to psych yourself out to go out and train. All you have to do is just go change your clothes.
Right. Put the helmet on, put the bike in the car, you're on.
And once you do that, then you're in a different state. So it was, for me, was I wasn't ready to go out and have sales conversations and talk to strangers. You know what I said? First step, I'm going to just talk to people I know and have those conversations and catch up. And you know, the amazing thing happened. One of them who I caught up with only 2 weeks ago emailed me today, this very day, and said, by the way, would you be available to go and do a sales kickoff in Rome next January?
Right.
In Rome, I'd go for free to Rome. So, and that just comes from doing stuff. And so what I would say to people if they were in my situation is not to analyze it, not to wait for the feeling to come back, because it won't. In fact, you know, I think it's a double negative. As you wait for it to come back and it's not, that makes you worry even more. That kind of puts you into a more negative place, because you kind of go, well, I've lost my mojo, you know, and then you worry about that. And that's just a double negative. It's like you said, it's putting the helmet on, it's putting the shorts on. Just pick something that's well within your control, that doesn't require a huge amount of effort. Just baby steps, start, do something. And it's amazing. It really is.
Well, I found in the past month, we send out, you remember Tactics, right?
Yes.
All right, so we've been sending out Tactics. We send out Tactics to several thousand people every week. And then we cut it down because we realized that a lot of them weren't even opening it. So we took out the people who weren't opening it. And then we kept the people who have opened it in the last 6 months. And so I picked up on Tactics and found out that out of the 900 people that we have who are opening it, there were 300 of them who had opened it in the last week.
Right.
So I printed that out and just started calling.
Wow. Okay.
And what I said to them is, I said, look, every year at this time, a little story, right? Every year at this time, I call everybody who's on our Tactics mailing list just to see how they're doing and what's up. And, you know, it's been a wonderful experience of being able to talk to people and being able to get their attention. We have something in common. It's called Tactics. If you're reading it, and I'm surprised at how many people actually read it every week.
Yes, it's a great idea. I don't use Tactics, but I have little videos that I record. And my plan with that is to call up the people I know who open it, who watch it, and go, is there anything you'd like to see?
Yes.
You had something on objection handling. Oh, interesting. Why did you pick that one? So it's a brilliant excuse. But as you can see, it's just that little activity brings something with it. It brings a result. It's positive. Even if it's a no, just the conversation itself is a positive. It gets you moving. And then you can take that momentum and that energy on to the next conversation.
Well, one of the things we've found here that's been true for the past 15 years is when we are not getting the results that we want, then we start doing something. Generally, it's a planned thing, but I believe it's really, we just do something. And you do something consistently. You start putting energy out. And the more energy we put out, the more things come back to us. Now, it's not a one-to-one. It's not, oh, I put that email out to that person and they called up and said, let's get to work. It's, I put this out over here, and then maybe over here somebody calls up. But there's always, it's almost like bouncing a ball off of a hard wall.
Yes.
You throw enough balls out there, and some will bounce back to you.
Yes, for sure. For sure.
It's not a one-to-one. It's not a quid pro quo. It's getting energy out there.
Yeah, and I don't know how that works other than people are attracted to busy people. If you're busy getting on with things, mm-hmm. that's an attractive quality. The last thing you want to do is hire somebody who's sitting there waiting for your call.
Right. Yeah. So what I'm hearing is the first thing to do is to recognize that you've lost your mojo.
Yeah. This is the other thing, is that I started to blog about this. I did little videos. I put it out there actually 2 weeks ago as part of my process. Was I put up a little video saying to people, but you know, I've lost my motivation to prospect. Uh-huh. It isn't just speaking to people who commented on it or who saw it and spoke to me about it, is that I'm not the only one, that's for sure. It's very, very common. As one guy commenter said, look, it happens to everybody. And I said, I know. I'm doing something about it. That's why I want you to see this. I'm not sitting here waiting for somebody to call me up or give me a helping hand. I'm doing this.
Well, you know, what's interesting is that we talk about our triangle, you know, our behavior, attitude, technique triangle. And so often it seems to me that when somebody wants to talk about prospecting, they fall into the default of techniques.
Yes.
This is the technique of using LinkedIn. This is how you use Facebook. I mean, I just got through going through a program, paid a lot of money to learn techniques for using Facebook ads.
Yes.
And you know, it didn't work. It didn't work. There's something about behavior and attitude that have to happen in order for us to get success.
It's very true. I don't know where I saw it. It was somebody had it on a client of mine on a whiteboard somewhere years ago. And it was first stage, get active, do stuff, then refine it. Mm-hmm. Fix it, fine tune it, tweak it later on. Don't care if you're making, you know, you're screwing everything up. Just get out there, talk to people. Once you're doing that, you can say, how can I make this better?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And so number one is recognize that it's happening. And some of that has to do, seems to me, with denial. We got to get out of denial, right?
For sure.
All right. Yeah. So making it real, I've lost my mojo. I'm not focusing on getting the things that I want. Number two, take action. And what I'm hearing is it doesn't always matter what action you take.
Exactly.
It takes some action. Get it happening. And in your case, it was contact people.
Yeah, because I wasn't prospecting. I wasn't getting to meet people. Mm-hmm. So what I did was, still without prospecting, although you're always prospecting, but without at least, without being explicit about it, just get out and talk to people.
Well, think about this for a moment. Now, in California, when we say prospecting, we think about the gold miners, prospectors. All right, now, what did they have to do in order to find gold? They had to make contact with the earth.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. Now, you could sit up there today. You could sit up there with satellites. You could go in Alaska. There's a lot of gold, and a lot of the natives know where it is. So you could spend a lot of time talking to native elders about where the gold is. You could get all these geosynchronous satellites to look for it. But until you go out there and make contact with the earth, and in our case, you make contact with another person, you're not prospecting.
Absolutely. And by the way, what I found is even if that individual you're speaking to has nothing for you because for whatever many reasons, you're now top of mind. They're talking to somebody else. You never know. You never guess who I met the other day or who I was talking to. You should contact them. Let me send you their email address. Mm-hmm. That's how it happens.
And so it's really contacting the other person, contacting the earth for the gold miner, for us contacting another person. And in that, there's going to be an exchange of energy. And that, to me, is how we get out of this loss of mojo, is behavior, simply doing it. And then what I heard you say is once we have our activities going, then we can begin to tweak them, refine them, customize them, make them better, evaluate our results, things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can even come up with an excuse. I mean, you can say, I'm researching an article. Would you give me half an hour of your time? And most people, if as I said, I started with the low-hanging fruit. I started with people who I knew. And then the next phase is I go beyond that. But I can now see it, where before I just had no energy for it. And I wasn't depressed. People have asked me that, well, were you depressed? No, I wasn't. I had plenty of energy for going out and taking photographs and doing stuff that I like to do.
Yeah.
Anything that just wasn't directed to work.
Yeah. Well, and it seems to me that that's one of the ways we lose our mojo, because nobody wants to work.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Nobody wants to do these things if I have to do them. Because from what we know about transactional analysis, that want comes from the natural child, which is a desire to do something, not from somebody telling us you have to, you ought to.
Yes.
And I think they're, you know, for the person who's lost their mojo, they've lost connection with that inner child, that delight, that wonder, that excitement.
Yeah. And I think my concern would be also for people maybe who have a boss who doesn't understand what they're going through, because I'm self-employed, as are you, and you don't have somebody looking over your shoulder. You have to motivate yourself. You have to define your own path. My concern would be for somebody in an organization who lost their mojo and was afraid to speak about it in case they lost their job.
Yes, yes.
I think something like that. Once you start sharing with people, not just that the fact that you've lost your mojo, but saying, look, I need help. You know, I think if you go to people and say, I lost my mojo, that's not enough. I think you have to say, here's my plan and I need your help. And it's amazing. People, if you ask them for help, they'll give you help. And it's not a...
Absolutely.
People are very uncomfortable being vulnerable like that. But it's a very, very powerful position to take.
Absolutely. I mean, I want some help. That to me is one of the people who said to me, I've lost my mojo, said, I want some help. I really need some help. And now we're talking with his boss about putting him into a place where he can get some help. And his help is not going to be techniques alone.
No.
It's going to be that contact with human beings and that joy of being successful, which he had before, very successful before.
Yeah. I think it starts with behavior. I used to believe it started with attitude first, that if you got their heads right, behavior would follow.
Right.
It starts with behavior, and that's the difficult bit, is just getting that initial kickstart. And that's where they need a coach.
Uh-huh.
Somebody they can be accountable to, where they have that, they've made a commitment and their coach is working with them closely just to get that initial kickstart. And then once the behavior kicks in, that feeds into their attitude. And of course, their attitude can be supported with good coaching and training too.
Sure, sure.
They can be certainly directed and channeled. And then once you get that, then I'd say work on the technique.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Because in effect, any techniques that you use in the beginning are really a mask for getting behaviors going.
It's true. It is. And you know what's interesting? I always thought in standard with the BAT, where you have the attitude triangle on top and then behavior technique, was I thought, okay, attitude's on top, it's most important, then underneath it are two supporting pillars. And I thought the BAT was just as a sort of a memory hook mnemonic that you could remember. And I said, no, it goes in that order.
Right.
Behavior, attitude, then technique.
That's right. That's right.
And I think that's a mistake a lot of people make. They say, you know, give me that great technique stuff you guys have.
Right.
If somebody's in the right place, that's fine. That's fine. It's a tough, you know, it's a tough business being in sales. Just staying motivated on a consistent basis is really, really tough. It genuinely is tough. It tests the best people. And so I think it's not a case of if, but when it happens to people, that they just have that perk or that patch where their heart isn't in it. I think that's it. Their heart is not.
Would it be, do you think it make any sense to recognize that the real joy of selling is in helping other people solve problems, to have a sense of efficacy, that we are doing things that actually help other people, and we have contact with people. I mean, we find that, you know, if you lose a disc, and the eyes are big sellers because they really enjoy interaction. But the same thing is true of a D in problem solving and an S in helping the whole organization move forward. I just wonder if one of the things that happens with the loss of mojo, I wonder if some of that is we lost contact with why we were doing it in the first place.
I think that could be a big part of it. You said something interesting a few moments ago about the help bit. And I think I've come to the realization that what we do, and I don't mean we as a Sandler, but we in sales, is that what we do is we help other people.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, in some respects that, or let me put it another way, that's what prospects want. They don't want our stuff. They don't want us. They don't care about us. What they want is help. And a big part of the sales skills, the sales process, is getting people primed to want and accept our help.
Right.
We need help, right? They just, for different reasons, don't know where to go. There are maybe trust issues. They're just not familiar with you. They've been burnt in the past. And a lot of that upfront work is getting them comfortable and primed where they go, actually, you know what? Yeah, your version of help, that's what I want to buy.
Right. And to me, it means removing a lot of the obstacles.
Correct. Right.
And so that first part of the conversation is a joint removal of head trash, right?
For sure. I mean, I think you've got to work on yourself first before you work with the prospect, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, how many people come into my training and say to me, I want you to show me how to get more sales? I want you to show me how to get more sales. How do I get more sales? How do I get more opportunities closed? And I have to tell them, I can't.
Yeah.
Can't. Right?
Yeah.
All right. Sure. Listen, Paul, can you stick around for another session?
Sure, I can. Absolutely.
All right. So we've been talking to Paul Lanigan from Ireland about how to recover mojo, because this is something Paul knows very intimately. And so we're going to take a little break here to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back with the Pilgrim on the 405, helping businesses in California thrive. Well, welcome back. Here we are with Paul Lanigan, a very good friend from Ireland, who has spent the last 14 years training salespeople to succeed. And before the break, we talked a little bit about this shift that from where a lot of salespeople come into training looking for help in closing more deals. In fact, they tell me, I'm here to get these wonderful techniques that will help me close more deals and make more money. And I know that they have made that transition when they move from that belief to the recognition that their real job is not to come in to try to make a sale, because that only gets resistance from the buyer, but to come in and to see if there is a way that they can help this buyer accomplish what they want, to remove any pain that's there, to remove obstacles, to help that buyer thrive, to accomplish what they really want. Does that make sense to you, Paul?
It makes perfect sense, and I think it is a paradigm shift that does take place somewhere in their journey from starting out in sales to when they're top producers. And because if you look at the first one is where, you know, can you help me make sales? That's very eye-centered. It's salesperson-centric. Whereas how can I help? Now, of course, we all have our own needs to take care of. The paradigm shift, I think, takes place when we realize the best way to do that is by first helping other people get their needs met.
Mm-hmm.
How can they be helped? And very often is by coming in with that eye-centered position, all we do is put up barriers to prospects being open to our help. because there's always that natural barrier. You're in sales, you know, the stereotype is pushy, can't quite trust them. So straight away, once they perceive that you're in a sales role, is the subconscious mind looks to that internal stereotype to define how they deal with it. It's the classical one. You go into a store, you're looking at something, sales assistant comes up, can I help you? And you don't think about what you're going to say next. Your subconscious goes, you know, you look at the person and they're dressed like a salesperson. They're trying to make eye contact with you, and then they open their mouth and they say, can I help you? And you go, ding, 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 salesperson. And straight away we look to those that internal stereotype, or those that heuristic we have about what does salesperson mean. And it's all at a subconscious level.
Mm-hmm.
And the action, because it's underhanded or pushy, we automatically go, no thanks, just looking.
Mm-hmm.
So when we enter into a conversation or approach a prospect with the look, the sound, acting like a salesperson, straight away the defense walls come up.
Mm-hmm.
And we paradoxically make it much harder to develop a sales opportunity.
Well,
we got to start with our own paradigm of how we approach it.
Right, right. And now it seems to me that the example that you were giving about being in a retail store and somebody coming up saying, "Can I help you?" I'm wondering if that has something to do with being out of sync.
How do you mean?
Well, if I'm walking into a store, I may not be ready to buy.
Yes.
And it may be that I interpret that, can I help you, as pushing me in a direction that I'm not ready to move.
You're 100% correct. If you think back at the times where you do go into a store and you're absolutely clear on what you want.
Yes.
Somebody says, can I help you? Yes, I'm looking for.
Right.
And in fact, and this is the irony, is that when you go in and you know exactly what you want, you can't find a store assistant to help you.
Right, that's right.
But, you know, your point is spot on, is that we go in, we're looking, we have an interest, we're not quite sure yet. But here's the salesperson's dilemma, is that you go in, you're looking around, maybe you're a little bit not okay because you can't find it. It doesn't mean it's not there. And yet at the same time, you're rejecting the salesperson's help. How does the salesperson get past that barrier so that it doesn't trigger that stereotype, but at the same time, you allow the salesperson to help you. And you're able to say, yeah, I'm looking for something in a shade of blue, whatever. And you're comfortable that the salesperson is not going to try and sell you something before you're ready. And well, that's a very fine balance to get that approach right.
Right. But I think that if we believe that what we want to do is help this person, then the first thing is to get into the timeline where they are in that buyer's journey. We have to sync up with them, not try to get them to come to us. But we have to sync up with them. I think that's what we call bonding and rapport. And bonding and rapport is not just this little quiet thing we do at the beginning. This is really where we sync up with.
This is what fascinates me about sales, is that you're correct to say you want to be able to help. But as soon as you say to somebody in that store, "Can I help you?" the barrier comes up.
Right.
You don't want to help. And I'll give you an example of what happened to me. And I think it's a really good example of where there is a paradox in selling, that there is it's often the word I'm looking for is counterintuitive. I was in Dublin Airport one day and I was flying to Moscow. That's Moscow, Russia now. Not,
mm-hmm. not Idaho.
Not Idaho, no. Although they're both damn cold, I think.
Right.
And this was early in the year and I had come to the airport and I'd left because despite popular perception, weather in Ireland is actually quite mild, just wet, but mild. So I had come to the airport with no coat and I thought, oh, I better get something. So it was my excuse to go buy a coat. Anyway, men's store in the airport, I'm walking in. So I'm a clear buyer. There's no question. I have a need, have the money, going to buy something. And guy comes over, just doesn't come straight at me, comes kind of side up, and without stepping into my space, he goes, "Oh, where are you off to today, sir?" I goes, I'm off to Russia. He says, "I've never been to Russia." He says, "Fascinating. Have you been there before?" I said, "I have." I said, "I love it." And now we have a conversation.
Right.
And we're slowly now walking over towards the coast.
Yes.
And it's that what we call that pattern interrupt, where if he had said to me, "Can I help you?" my subconscious automatically would have said, "No, thanks. I'm okay." Even though I was in there looking for something, and I know that's crazy.
No, but that's
how we're humans.
But it's you're out of sync.
Yeah.
And by him saying the questions that he asked, helped you to invite him into your space.
Yes, and now that he's in my space, I'm open to his help.
Yes, because you're in sync, and you trust that he's not going to use that against you.
Exactly.
All right. Because what does it mean? Somebody's using something against me. They're trying to get me to do something that I don't want to do, or I might not be ready to do. Which means there's a time problem.
Yeah.
You're out ahead of me. Yeah. You're telling me the story you're telling me the end of the story before I've heard the first part of the novel.
Yep.
And I don't like that. You know, don't push me along. But if you're willing to walk with me down my buyer's journey, then I'm willing to trust that you're not going to force me to do something or to do something I don't want to do or force me to do something I'm not ready to do.
Yeah, for sure. You catch somebody by the arm and try to drag them along, they'll resist. It's automatic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But if you walk with them, I mean, what's the native thing? You know, walk 10 miles in someone's moccasins?
Yeah.
Right? It's really walk with them. And to me, that's the way to get more sales is to recognize that our job is to help other people. And that means to really respect where they are in the buyer's journey.
It also means that we have to be okay with the fact that they may not be ready for help, and in fact, they may not want help.
Correct. Everybody. Correct. Well, I mean, I do a lot of work. My wife and I do a lot of work with homeless folks or recovering addicts. Mm. And the biggest problem is people who come in thinking they're going to save that person. They're going to fix it. Right?
Yeah.
And my wife's been in this for 5 years, and there are people who, after 5 years, just begin to be open to be helped.
Yep.
And it's that patience and paying attention to them and where they are on their journey, always being open to helping when requested or when it seems indicated as appropriate, but not to come rushing in with, "Well, I've got the answer." Because in transactional analysis, that's being the expert, and that pushes it right up above the line, and you're going to get resistance, period.
And, of course, that brings up so many other questions about how particularly large corporations structure their sales calendar by driving people with quarterly targets and annual targets that really are counterproductive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Look at Wells Fargo.
Yeah.
Look at Wells Fargo. Look at the whole housing dilemma fiasco in the United States of 8 years ago.
I know a company very well, some individuals in there, and right now they are dumping a ton of value just to get deals over the line by this artificial deadline.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And of course, what that does is because they're dumping a ton of value, that needs to be replaced in the next quarter. So you're always, always borrowing from the next quarter, borrowing from Peter to pay Paul.
Right, right.
That hamster wheel, that treadmill, and then you end up losing your mojo because you're just so fed up.
Well, right, because you forgot what you were really there for. You forgot why you really came.
Yeah.
And you know, people don't come to a sales position in a business to make that business more money.
No.
Right? They came because they had a desire, they had a want, and they see the business as a way to get what they want.
Yes.
But the business becomes a means, it's not the end.
No, it's only ever a means.
And it seems to me that part of the losing the mojo may mean that we've forgotten the end and we've mistaken the means for the end.
Sure. The means just gets in the way so often.
Yeah. Yeah.
So fascinating.
Yep. Yep. Well, I think those are the kind of things that are going to be really helpful for people to understand that there's this ability to recover that end that we were looking for. And some of that, I believe, you picked up on it. It comes from just talking to other human beings.
Yes. Get active.
It's get active, but not just sending out,
Sorry. You're so right. I'm glad you said that. You're so right. You'll see people and they'll start sending out emails and they think that that's activity. No, it's not. We're humans. We need social contact. We need to move. You need to get in your car. You need to go see people, have a cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. Even if you need to talk about the weather, it doesn't matter.
Right. Right.
It just comes from that.
And it's out of that, I think, that this serendipity of getting back in touch with what we're calling mojo, I think another way is getting back in touch with our natural child, our desires.
Yes.
Our motivation.
Yes.
And so just going out and, as my wife recalls for me, doing the behaviors. Just yes. Do the behaviors. And the behaviors are get with other human beings.
That's it. And it's, if you strip it all back, that's exactly what it is. Get with other humans.
Yeah. And in that, I believe if you're really there to get to know them, to reestablish, to listen to them, out of that, you're going to trip over things that you can help with, i.e. make a sale.
Yep. Get out there, listen to their stories, understand their journey, where they're going, what's troubling them, what's getting in the way, what is their desired end result. All of that, just that's good stuff that you do naturally.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
And it will come. I think that's it. Have faith. Just do it and it will come. Don't look for results out of every conversation.
No,
just
no.
Do this.
But see, it seems to me when we start looking for results, what we should have a little red button inside our head that starts beeping that says you're out of sync. You're looking for results and they're looking for a partner.
Yes.
They're looking for somebody to walk along with them.
Yes. Be there. Just be there.
Absolute presence. Absolute presence. To me, the reason that we use the upfront contract is to shift from the alternative, which is I'm here to get all the information, not to have a relationship with you. Give me all the information, give me a price, and get out.
Mm.
This is not a transaction. This is a relationship.
For sure.
And if you're not willing to share with me at that level about what the problems are, I mean, I went to a large company, almost a $1 billion company, and I was asked to come. I really spoke with the sales manager for one of the 7 divisions in the company, and he appreciated that I was looking for the problems that he had to see if I could help solve them.
Mm.
Then he said, okay, so you're one of the 5 companies that are going to be presenting to do sales training. And I said, okay. And I said, in order to do this, I'm going to need to talk to each of the 7 sales managers to find out what their problems are. Oh, no, we don't have time for that. We don't have time for that. Well, what I found out at the end was they weren't looking to solve the problems. They were looking to check off the box that said sales training. And they were looking for a catalog of classes, and they eventually purchased from a company that was going to fly in a different instructor for every one of the classes that they had selected.
Oh, my Lord.
And, you know, it's like, wait a minute, I didn't lose this. It was never my cup of tea. This is not my client.
Mm. Well, I think that's – so a client of mine said that to me years ago when he had one of these light bulb moments. He says, what I love about this, I've just realized you get to choose your clients.
Yes, yes, yes.
There's something in sales that we have this sense that we get the clients who, you know, if we're lucky, we'll get the clients we're given. I'm thinking, no, you get the clients you want.
Yes.
And you don't want to do business, that's fine too.
That's right.
Yeah. And we don't want to do it right. Let's not do it at all.
Well, I realize that going and talking to this large company that might have, that's not something I've done a lot of. And so I really wanted to do it just to have the experience and see the dynamics inside. Having seen it, that's not what I want to do. I do not expect to be flying around the country, dropping in, doing the course, and never seeing them again. I'm there to solve problems.
That's it. And by the way, I am probably about 6,000 miles away from you right now. But earlier today, I heard somebody name check you, Will, saying what a great trainer you were.
Oh, no.
Yeah, true. The guy, I was listening to a webinar, and it was a guy, he's the CEO of Breakthrough Email.
Oh, yes, yes. He was one of my students.
But he said you were the guy who trained him.
He was here. He was here. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Yep, we had a great time.
Running a very successful operation right now.
Yeah. Well, good. So just to summarize what we've been saying, we said before, when you have lost your mojo, get really clear that this has in fact happened. You know, get out of denial, own it. Number two, take action. And by action, we mean get in contact with human beings. Find a list. Go talk. Re-engage. Do something, but start talking to people. We have
Put the helmet on or put the shorts on.
Yeah. Yes. Get out.
You go for a long mug, a run. We think, oh, no, I got a 16-mile run. I don't really feel like it.
Yes.
Don't think that way. Just put the helmet on.
Right. Then it's out of that. Get into that relationship with those people. Listen to them. Don't go in with the idea we're going to get something from them. We are going to relate to them. We're going to find out where they are on their journey and to see if we can sync up with them, see if there's something we can do to help them. And if not, that's okay too.
Yeah. Just let them enjoy your company and vice versa.
Right, right. And it's out of that that comes the opportunities that we have to serve other people. And I think it was Zig Ziglar who said, you can get whatever you want by helping other people get what they want.
He sure did. He said some marvelous things. That was one of them.
Yeah. Well, it's been wonderful talking with you, Paul.
My pleasure.
Well, I want you to stay around now. I mean, you're going to stick in there. Yeah. Whatever you do, no matter what you do, make sure that we still have your email address, right?
For sure.
And your Skype number.
Yeah, that's not changing.
All right. Is there anything you wanted to say? How would somebody get in touch with you, Paul, if they wanted to?
The LinkedIn is probably the easiest way. I'm on LinkedIn or just Google my name.
Paul Lanigan.
There's not too many of us. There's some New York actor, he's a rabbi, I believe he is the name of Paul Lanigan. But I think he's a fictional character in some New York. Now, of course, I've just admitted that I've Googled my name. Which I probably shouldn't do.
Well, it's been wonderful being with you, and it's also been wonderful being with you, folks, because this radio show is dedicated to helping businesses in California thrive. And a part of that is maintaining your mojo, not only for your salespeople, but for your entire company. And so having a way of taking the pulse of your company, staying in touch with them, and on a regular basis rewarding them for all the wonderful things that they're doing, not only for the company, but also for your clients and helping them along their buyers or their path toward their own success. So this is Will Crist saying thanks for being here and help make businesses thrive in California.
You've been listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. To hear more of the programs in this podcast, go to www.willcrist.com.